not be so convicted and be set free from the very thing that holds us back. And we just want to thank you for your obedience to bring the word, because it's through your obedience that God comes and he sets free, because we make known what's been hidden inside us, that the Spirit of God can come and release so that we can be set free from the very thing that holds us back from walking in the fullness of Christ. So yeah, so this morning, I loved worship this morning. I love it. I absolutely love it, because it just brings us into a place where our hearts are just in one with the Lord. And while we were busy worshiping, I really felt that there was a heaviness. And it was so amazing. Like, once again, God is so faithful, because it is through our testimony. It is really through the salvation. It is the very thing that has saved us, that we can come up and be set free. And it's so amazing how that the Spirit of God is so faithful that he sends people up, that the very thing, the burden that was laying upon you people, will be lifted. And I hope this morning that the word I'm going to bring is going to really, I pray that you will be filled wells when you leave here. And it's a word of encouragement. It's not a long thing. It's been something that has been in my heart for a very long time. And funny enough, it was something that, you know, it's almost like a something gathering together from Jay speaking about the Holy Spirit, Helmut coming to bring about the word of hope, with Philip bringing the word of the gospel of Christ, and last week with God, with God nothing is impossible. And it's just amazing, because for a long time I've been sitting there saying, Lord, you know, I think all of us want to connect so close to the Lord, and sometimes we do fail. We do. Well, I fail. And if anything else, I want to be moved. And I want to first show you a clip this morning. It's a very simple clip, but I tell you something, if it doesn't move you, then yeah. But it's an amazing clip, and from there, we'll take it from further. Just switch off the lights.
Nearly 200 years ago, a revival took place in Wales, England. And as a result of this revival, many missionaries were called onto foreign mission fields. And many of these missionaries chose as their place of service to go to North India, a place that could best be described as savage. These tribes were famous for a group of men known as headhunters, who, as a sign of greatness in their tribe, would take the heads of their enemies and hang them on their walls. And it was into this savage tribe that these missionaries came. And obviously, they were not welcomed by these tribes. But still, they knew they were called by God, and so they continued to share their faith. And they finally reached out to one family who accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this man and his wife and two sons were so contagious about Jesus that they were beginning to lead other villagers and other people from their tribe to Jesus. And the tribal chief got wind of their faith. And so he called a meeting of the tribe, and he captured this family, and he brought them before the tribe. And he said to the man, he said, renounce Jesus Christ as your Savior, or something bad is going to happen to you. He said, we're going to kill your children. And the man, he loved his children. He looked down at his sons, and he loved them, but he knew that he couldn't renounce Jesus Christ. So he said the words to this famous song. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And the archers pulled back their arrows and they shot dead his two sons.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
And as his sons lay there before him on the ground, dead, the tribal chief said, I'm going to give you another chance. Renounce Christ, or I'm going to kill your wife. And the man looked down at his sons, and he looked at his wife, whom he loved so much, his partner in life. But he knew what Scripture said, that he needed to acknowledge God acknowledge Christ before men. And he said the second line to this famous song. He said, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And the archers killed his wife.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
And now with his two sons and his wife lying on the ground in front of him, the tribal chief came before him again and said, renounce Christ, or this time we'll kill you. And the man, realizing that he had nothing left in this world, looked up at heaven and said the last lines to this song. He said, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. And in anger, the tribal chief gave the order, and the archers killed the man.
The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning.
Children and his wife dead, the chief stood before this family speechless. He couldn't believe what his eyes had just seen, and he realized that through the faith of this man, that this God must be real. This Jesus, who this man was willing to die for, must be real. And on the spot, the reports tell us that this chief accepted Christ as his Savior. And throughout the following weeks and months, the rest of the tribes began to accept Christ as their Savior. All because one man and his family were willing to stand up and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. Though no one goes with me, I'm still going to follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back.
I want us all to stand up. We're going to proclaim this morning. We're going to exactly do that. I felt throughout the whole week while I kept on listening to this, and we're going to stand up and we're going to proclaim to the spiritual realm exactly what he proclaimed. Okay, we know how to all sing. We can all sing, hey? Okay, we're going to sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We're going to break something in the spirit today. And you're going to pray, because I know as we were listening to that, in your heart, I can tell you now that you were busy singing that. But now we're going to confess it. I know this is a bold thing to do, but we are children of God and we should be bold for Christ. We are going to sing. We are going to follow Christ, no turning back. All right. I just think we need to go onto our knees. Like Helmut said, we don't have a program. There's always something in our lives that we are broken. And God wants to humble us into a place where God will move us if we believe. He will move if we believe. Father, this morning we just come and we see the cross before us, Lord, and the world behind us. We proclaim this morning, Lord, that we will not turn back. Father, we just want to come before you this morning humbly before you, Lord, and we just want to say that we love you. We come together this morning, we gather together as children of God, and to say that we are weak. But in you we are strong. Father, we come together before you, Lord, because there are so many people here today, Lord, that are broken within themselves. And Father, that you want to come and restore all of us, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, as you, Jesus, walk between us, as we come quiet before you, Lord, and you come and you touch us. Reveal to us, Lord, our hearts, so that we can become worthy vessels. So that fear will not reside in us, Lord, because your word says that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Fear has no place here. Father, your word says if ever those who are sick among you to lay hands and to pray for you, because Jesus came to heal, but he actually came to heal that you will not have a sick body at all. Jesus has come today to heal marriages. Jesus has come to set your mindsets free. Jesus has come today so that your eyes will be focused on the very thing, the cross before us. For we have a sole purpose of being children of God. And I thank you, Father, for that liberty that we have in your name. I thank you for every single person that is here, woman, man, and child. Because you love us, Lord. You said that you loved us first. Father, in this morning, as we bring your word, Lord, I pray that, Father, that, Lord, that your people will leave here encouraged, will be set free from the very thing that holds him back, Lord. And they will be healed in the name of Jesus. And that their wells will be filled, overflowing, Lord. And whatever happens here, Lord, will just continue. In Jesus' name, amen. I made the title, God Moves As You Believe. That clip moved me such a place because I think we all were in savages before we were saved. And it was just amazing just to see such a clip where the word of God was spoken to a man, woman, people, church. And they took the gospel, as the word of God says, that we need to go preach the gospel. And a group of people decided they're going to go to India and they're going to go pray for people that are somewhere in the bush, somewhere. But it's the word of God that brings that belief. And in my heart, I believe that a lot of times we don't move is because we have unbelief. God only moves when we believe. This man, the savage man that was saved in this village, heard the gospel. The gift of salvation was brought to him through the word of God. It wasn't through the missionary. He was obedience. Because of his belief, he came to a village and was led to a village with his missions to go and preach the gospel to these people. It took one man to change a village, which today, those people, funny enough, shofars, one of them, they were there our first term in the Himalayas. It's basically the same kind of tribe. It took an obedience of a man that he heard the word of God to go and speak to a village. They hear the word of God. This man realizes this is Jesus. He's never heard of this, of anything. He's in the middle of a forest. It resonates with his spirit. And he says, yes, this is the man I want to follow. He gets so excited that he starts speaking to his villagers about this Jesus that he has met, that it came to a point that it actually cost him his life. But it cost him his life because he believed. A lot of us like to hide from that. We want to follow Christ, but we don't want to move from that. But when the Spirit of truth comes over you, you cannot but hold back. You need to move forward. And this is exactly what this guy did. He went to proclaim to the villagers. He knew that there was going to be trouble. He knew it's going to cost him something. The difference is that we know that it's going to cost us everything. It's going to cost you your life. Do you think this guy knew? Do you think that he really was going to see the outcome of a whole village being saved? No. None of the prophets, they prophesied Jesus was coming, but did they ever get to see it? No, because they believed. When God speaks, they believed. And this man believed, and he went to go speak the truth to his villagers, and through that truth, it set a whole village free. to the point that even the chief realizes there's truth in what this man did, because he believed in the very thing that he saw. And it's only when you believe something that you will do something. If you believe a product doesn't work, do you use it? No, you don't. You won't even tell people about it. You're like, oh, what? But when you know that something really resonates with you, you go tell people about it. And this morning, this is exactly what it is. When Jesus comes into your life, your old state of unbelief turns to believing that Jesus is truly the Son of the living God and that he has come to set all men free. In John 6, verse 28 to 29, it says there, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' And Jesus answers and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" Let's read it again. "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" What must we do to be able to do all these things? And all Jesus answers and says to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." When you came to the Lord, it resonated within your heart that this is truly who I want to serve. I want to serve Christ. My life needs to change. Irrespective of what it's going to cost you, your life is going to change. It's going to cost you your family. It's going to cost you your friends. It's going to cost you your time. But to follow Jesus is going to take everything within you. You've got to give it all up. You've got to lay it before the Lord. But you can only lay that down if you really believe that whatever his word says is true. You can't take few things of the word and say, "Well, I can't really see that happening." You have to believe that this word is true. From Genesis to Revelation. I read something so amazing. It says, in one of the Facebook things, a big lion, a lion roaring, and it says, "Roar loud enough and you won't hear doubt." No, really. If you roar loud enough, you will not hear doubt. If you believe, you won't have this much. And you know what? It's possible, because everyone says, "Oh, you know, it is possible to believe the very word of God and to see people being set free." And this is my heart. This is really my heart. It's for you two people to understand that you have to believe the word of God. You cannot have unbelief. It's like faith. We believe in something that we do not see. God didn't go into a file and go, "Look, okay, well, let me just see which sea I want to take out." And there was an object there, and you picked it up and you placed it there. He says he spoke things into being and he placed things. And that's what we believe in. Think about it. You don't believe in an object. You believe in things that you don't see, because we believe. So what stops you from believing? And this is what I feel, which I'm going to share you with my dad's testimony. What stops you from believing that your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your family or your friends can come to Jesus? What stops you from believing that if somebody is sick, that it can't be healed? It's because we want to see it in the physical. But you need to believe it in your heart. Irrespective if it doesn't happen in the physical, you need to believe it in your heart. You need to believe that Jesus is truly the Son of the living God, and what his word says, it happens. Irrespective if I say to Helma, "I'm going to pray for you, and I believe that God can set you free from one leg shorter than the other." Do you have one? Yeah. And I pray, and it doesn't happen. Is it going to stop you? Or is it going to move you? Because what happens is, as Christians, and this is what it is, I want to see God move. I want to see people being set free. And many times I think to God, why did you save me? Why did you save me? Because let me tell you something, in your flesh, you don't want God. You want to do the things that you want to do. But God knew that that gift came, and I realized that I needed something more than myself. When I received Christ, I knew there's just something within you that knows that you have to believe. And in time, you grow in that, but you grow because you read the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. This is life. If you don't read it, you're not going to believe that God can do things. Then God of the impossible for you will be like, it's not possible. That's just not possible. Because the Word of God, it gives you parables. It gives you all those things. That's not there for us, for stories, for us to go, wow, and shoo, I feel good about that, and get gooses, and yee, that's a good story. No. These parables, these stories are here for us to move us into action. It's to say, because the Word of God says that we have the living Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, that we have the power of God within us to do the very thing that Jesus did. So why aren't we doing it? I was telling Helmut last week, I said, the thing is that people have the written word. We have the Logos word. We read the word. And we say, we have the Rhema word. We don't have the Rhema word. Because I'll tell you something, if we had the Rhema word, I tell you, we would be in action all the time. What we've become monuments. What God says, He says, I filled you with the Spirit. I want you to become a monument with momentum. So you get saved. And a lot of people, if you are being saved for 10 to 15 years and you're still on the same testimony, I'm not saying it's wrong. I think it's great to have a testimony and you must share it. But if that's the only thing you're sharing, there's something wrong. You're a monument. That's all you are. There needs to be momentum. You need to be able to speak about other things that have happened in your life. Things that have happened when you pray, things that God speaks to you about. You get excited about the Word of God. You share it with the people around you. And that is what you need to do. It moved the savage man. When he heard it, he realized that people needed to hear the Word of God. They needed to be set free. I love the song that says, yes and amen. It's in Corinthians. It's yes and amen. It's going to happen. It will happen. And funny enough, this word that I'm bringing today is the very thing I've been challenged with this week. I'm saying, Lord, I believe, really, my father-in-law is basically almost like dying. That's what the critical thing of it. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, but I don't have unbelief. I will not have unbelief. I will roar like a lion, and I will not hear that doubt. Well, in me, I want to go up, and I want to start like, oh, my word. No. I start praying the Word of God, because what His Word says, it is true. And we stand on that, irrespective of what we see in front of us. What happens in the physical, what happens in the spiritual is something totally different. And this is the thing. We believe in something that we do not see. So when we pray and we don't see something happening, it doesn't mean it's not happening. Something's happening. Just believe it's happening. Stand on that. Go back to that. Keep praying. Keep trusting. And I can really vouch for you for that, because when my dad was 80 years old when he came to the Lord. And if you know anything about a Mediterranean, for those who are, that's hardkoppig. And very religious. We came from a Catholic background. And I will still say this, because I don't really care what people think. Catholics are not saved. They're not Christian. I know that they love God. They do. But they are blinded to the truth. And when I got saved, when I got radically saved, I walked into our house and I spotted every idol that was in that house. And I said to my mother, you are devil worshippers. You are, I'm being serious. I said to you, because the Word of God says these are idols. Why are you bowing down to things that are not really there? They're not there. That's not real. And my mom's like, what the heck? You know, what's going on here? And I just said to her, there's only one. There's only one, and that's Christ. And I just kept on. I was the whole time, wherever we go, eventually my family would tell me, would you just stop? about this Jesus? I said, no, because that's what saves. That's what's going to save you. It's Christ. And in that with my dad was one of seven kids, and he was the eldest, and they farmed. So all the other kids got educated, and my dad didn't. So he was illiterate. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. But he was a man of prayer. Even though he went into his little place, and he was sat there for 2 hours, he prayed to Mary, to Joseph, and all the other little thingies there. But I know in his heart that I know Christ saw his heart, and his heart was to see. He loved God. He just didn't know him the way we did. And I used to sit with him, and every time I used to read something, I said, Dad, did you know, let me tell you about the story about Abraham. And he'd be like, how can that be true, Jacinta? Who would ever write that word? Who would ever think that? I said, Dad, but you've been in church for how long? Surely you must know that this is the truth. And he's like, what do you know? I'm like, okay. But I kept on. I persevered because I knew that the truth had to come. And the one night the Lord woke me up, I was wailing. When I say I was crying, it was like snort and bubbles, like we, Jane, I always say. I tell you something, I was on my knees and I woke up, Jane. I'm like, Jane. And he's like, what? I'm like, we need to pray. We need to pray for our families. The urgency is there. We need to pray for our families. And we started praying until the sun came up. And I believe, I said, Lord, you're going to save my family. It looks impossible because they are so stern on what they believe in. It's just like that, but so was I. I was probably worse than all of them. And in that, it took good, how long has my dad been dead? Like 9 years before my dad got saved. My dad's been dead now for 3 years. It took my dad, he got very, very ill, exceptionally ill. And I used to pick him up and I used to just play a song. Because, you know, after a long time, the Lord just said to me, listen, you've now really spoken the word. If that hasn't changed them, now you better start acting on the word. So I needed to show them love. And that was difficult for me because I wanted to tell them, you need to be saved. You need Jesus. And, you know, and I was like, the whole time, until one God said to me, okay, but now you need to show them the very thing that you say, you need to love them. And that was very difficult for me to do because I just wanted them saved. But I needed to show them the love of Christ. So now God was teaching me something. Just love them. Just speak the truth, but you need to love them. Serve them. And it's difficult to serve somebody that doesn't sort of serve what you serve, you know. And in any case, in this, as I just love them, and a lot of times when they'd say, Jacinta, why are you so quiet? Because I know I'd always sort of comment on something. And I said, no, there's no reason. I just, you know. But Jacinta, what do you think? Do you really want to know what I think? Because I say it straight out. That's what it is. And you know what? I've had a lot of arguments with my sisters. I've had a lot of just, not arguments. I just say, well, this is what it is. But how can you say that? Because the word says that. And I believe it. Irrespective. But in my heart, I know that I see in the physical, this is so impossible. But in the spiritual, man, oh man, the spiritual's happening. God is busy. We just need to be obedient in the very thing. And in this, my dad, I'd pick him up, and he was very sick. He had cancer, and he lost a lot of weight. And my dad was a worker. He worked extremely hard. He couldn't work, and he loved his animals. He was a real farmer. And he was unable to do that. So he was sort of like bedridden. And we'd come and sit there, and he just looked at Josh. Because a lot of times Josh would say, Opa, can I come and pray for you? And, like, yeah. And he loved it. Yes. And then Joshua would go and pray for him. And he loved it. He loved Josh. He always says, Joshua, come pray for me. And he saw that our lives were different. He saw that we didn't just preach the word, we lived the word. And the one day he just sat there, and I saw fear. When I say fear, I don't know if you ever sit with people that are dying and there's fear. It's almost like, I don't know what's happening after this. And he says to me, Jacinta, I'm scared. I said, what are you scared, Dad? He says, I'm just scared of dying. I said, I'm sure, Dad, everyone's scared of dying. But I said, Dad, but there's a life after death. That's the beginning. And he just cried. And he's like, it's almost like, what are you saying? So I just spoke to him, and my mom was standing behind me, and it's amazing Because us Mediterraneans speak all the time, you know. For us to be quiet takes a miracle of the Holy Spirit to keep us quiet. And my mom was standing behind me, and she was talking like that. And I just looked at him, and it's almost like everything went quiet. And I looked at my dad, and within him, I knew it was time. And I said to my dad, "Dad, you need Jesus. That's what you need. You need the touch of Christ. You need to understand who He is. Can I pray for you?" I said, "Dad, do you need Him? Do you want Him?" And he said, "Yes, Jacinta." And he just started crying, but like this overwhelming crying. And I said to him, "Well, this is what it is." And I just spoke to him, and I held him, and we both cried. And I said to the Lord, "Wow, you just really..." And it took so long, so many years. But this is what I'm saying to you. It's irrespective. You need to believe that God says who He says He is. No turning back. You've got to move forward. You have to build momentum. You need to tell people about Christ. And this is what I saw with my dad. Here is a man of 79, because he was going to turn 80 just before he died. And he looked at me, and from that day on, I'd pick him up and he'd go with me to do things. And I'd put on in my car. His favorite song was, I'm trying to think now. Every time he heard it, it was just amazing. He cried. He says, "Jacinta," I actually even played it for his funeral, because the Lord had really spoken to me a year before that my dad was going to die and he needed to prepare. And every time he listened to that song, he just looked at me and he just started crying. He says, "I can't believe that Jesus loves me." So I said to him, "Dad, He loves you." And then you just start crying. And then the one day, there was a family that came to the car, and they were really, I looked at them and I thought, wow, sure, okay, they've got nothing. And my dad, and at that time, Jay and I really, we lived for 4 years on faith. When I say faith, we lived on faith. It was just, yeah, it was like we were the last chicken. And my mother says, "You're having family over for supper and you have one chicken left." I said, "Mom, just relax. Everything's fine. God will provide." And Tuesday night, that afternoon, I've had three people coming, bringing fruit, and the next one this and this one that. So my mom would like, "The heck? What's going on?" So in any case, so my dad looked at me and says, "Jacinta, what are you doing?" I said to him, "Dad, I need to buy these people food. It's a family. They're hungry." He says, "But you don't even have." I said to him, "Of course I have. I still got left. I mean, in the bank. So I'm sure I have something." So I go and I buy the little necessities so that it can last. And my dad just started laughing. I'm not laughing. He started crying. He says, "Jacinta, why are you? I can't understand why you're doing that." I said, "Because, Dad, the Spirit of God tells me I must do stuff. I don't do everything. I see every poor person, I go feed them. But I feel in my heart I need to give them. I can't turn around and run away and drive off and see people being hungry." So I go, and my dad looked at me, and he starts crying. "Oh," he says, "there was a boy that came to the house and he wanted food, and I told him to foot sack." So I said to Dad, "It's because you didn't know Christ. You don't know the Lord, and it's just one of those things." And you were just, and he says, "No, you don't understand. I should have fed him." And this is what verse 35 says. It says, "And Jesus says to them, 'I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" If you read that carefully, it says, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Who believes in me shall never thirst." You can go without food, but you can't go without water. We need to understand that we need Christ. We need His word. He fills us up. He is the bread of life. And that is why it's important that we speak the truth to people. If we believe, God will move. Just believe it. You have to believe it. And in that, my dad, the one day, just before we were going to go on holiday, Jay and I thought, let's just go see my dad before we leave. And he sat there. And I promise you now, for the very first time, I saw how scales in the spirit fell off my dad. My dad sat in that chair. He was frail. He looked at Jay and I and he says, "JJ, what is the difference between your church and my church?" And it was just amazing. Jay just brought him the gospel. Just simple. Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and resurrected. And what are we here to do? And as he heard that, my mom sat in the chair and she tried to get out of the chair. And I promise you, she couldn't get off it. She couldn't get up. She tried to get up, but now she wants to walk out. God made her sit on that chair and not move until she heard everything. And my dad just sat there and he just looked And as I was just praying in tongues, as Jay was preaching, we sat there for 3 hours with him, but it felt like it was 10 minutes. He sat and he looked at us and he just started crying. He says, and this is what moves me today. It was this piece. He says, Jacinta, so what you're telling me, that for 79 years, I've lived without the fulfillment of Christ? You're trying to tell me for 79 years, I've lived without the Lord in His fullness? And I've lived a lie for 79 years? And he started weeping. He started weeping because he understood what he has missed out on. A man who, I promise you, probably be the most amazing intercessor, because he was a fervent man. He prayed to the wrong gods, but he prayed. And he realized, within his spirit, he realized that for 79 years, he hasn't had a relationship with the Lord. And within a half an hour, when he received Christ and he understood the gospel for what it is, and it's not because we said it so nicely that he believed it, because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Word is alive. This Word is alive. And I cannot, for the life of me, not preach it to anybody, because my dad, for 79 years, lived unfulfilled. No joy. He worked hard. There was no joy in him. It was absolutely no joy. He was robbed. He was robbed from being the leader of our home to pray for us as a family. And this is what it is. God is your reinforcement. You need to understand that this is the Spirit of truth. You have to believe. For you to be moved, you have to believe. God will only move if you believe. You have to go speak to people about Christ. Be the truth. Speak the truth. It's going to cost you everything. People are not going to like if you say you're living in sin. You're living together. You shouldn't be living together. You should be married. If your family is not saved, pray. Seek God's face. Ask Him. Because He will give you the right time to speak to your family. Don't be afraid if they don't want you ever to see you again. It's okay. Because you're going to intercede for them. Because your fight is not against flesh and blood. Your fight is not against who you see in front of you. It's the principalities. That's who your fight is against. And what shook me is, if you are a Christian that's living half a Christian, coming up against a full enemy, a full Satan, you're going to lose. You will fail. You need to be equipped. You need to read the Word of God. You need to understand who He is. Have a relationship with Him. I know it's sometimes very difficult, but let me tell you something. Times, I feel in my heart, I've said to Jay, and we both feel, the times are getting, it's almost like it's getting compressed. Things are starting to happen like this. People are getting sick. People are being wiped out. Children are dying. It's just, why? Because the enemy is going to come, because he knows his time is short. And if we are not standing strong, if we are not in the Word of God, you will unbelieve. When you start seeing things happen, you say, God, where are you? No, He's there. He's waiting for you to move. Preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out demons. That's what we have been there to do. Make disciples of people. Just speak to people. Share the love of God. And that's what I want to share with you today. If you believe, God will move. If you believe that this is the Word of God, that He is truly the Son of the living God, that He can do all things in what this Word says, He will do it in your life. I'm encouraging you, don't allow depression, don't allow sickness, don't allow these things. Do not. That's not supposed to be there. Do I sometimes feel that? Absolutely. But I have to pull myself together and I say, but I believe this is the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, I believe it, irrespective. And people look at me and say, you know what, you're like a bit super spiritual. You're like a little bit too hyped up. I don't care. I really don't care. At this point of time, I don't care. I want to see God's kingdom come. I want to see my family being restored, and it's happening. It's happening slowly. It's happening slowly. And I believe they would never, my family would never give to missions. They would never even be part of our church. And you know what? They're starting to do that because something is happening in their spirit. Because if we keep on proclaiming, irrespective, and we live our lives accordingly to what the Word of God is, people, your family will change. Don't compromise coming to church because of family. Don't compromise speaking the truth because you just might hurt somebody. Speak the truth. In love, speak the truth. Pray together as a family. Pray for one another. God is really there. He's alive. And one day when we see Him face to face, that's going to be amazing. It's like Josh always says to me, he says, why are we alive, Mom? I'd rather them be with Jesus than having to go through all of this. I have to do all of this. That's true. So I want to encourage you this morning. Read the Word. I want to read something that that Smith Wigglesworth says. There is nothing that our God cannot do. He can do anything if you dare to believe. I like that. So I'm daring you to believe. I dare myself to believe. So that's what I just wanted to share with you this morning is, that's just my heart. I'm not a teacher. I'm not anything like that. I share what I feel that God is speaking about and believe who God is. Nothing is impossible for God. Our hope is in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit that is within us. It is alive. It is a person. You can do it. Don't stop praying. Don't stop preaching. Be on fire for God. Keep praying. Keep going. Okay. We bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. And I just ask you to please keep Jay's father in prayer and for Jay as well. His dad is in ICU. He's not doing very well. And Jay and him are very close. They weren't close for a long time. And when Jay's father came to the Lord radically just before we came up, like 3-4 years ago, it was the first time he stepped into church. It was when we planted the church. And his life changed because he saw his son, who he thought was, his whole life is different. And he thought, no, this is what I want to follow. And his life is changing, but the enemy is attacking him. And we don't look at the physical. We believe that God can do all things. So please pray for Jay, for strength, and for my father-in-law, who, yeah, just for God's will. God knows what he's doing. Okay, should we bow down and we just pray? Father, I want to thank you for this morning, Lord. I want to thank you for your worship. I want to thank you, Lord, for your presence that was here this morning, Lord, and that everyone just proclaimed that they will want to follow you, Jesus. They want to do everything in their hearts to follow you, Father God. And Lord, as they come and search you, your word says if they come and search you, they will find you, Lord. And so, Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you that you're Jehovah Nissi, our banner that covers us daily, that it's your blood that covers us. I want to thank you, Father, that, Lord, that the great work that you're going to be doing in these people's lives, I thank you, Father, that, Lord, they are going to walk with belief and they're going to see you move within their lives, Lord, Father God. Father, I pray that, Lord, that they will become a people who are called by your name, that, Lord, they will humble themselves before you, Lord, and that, Lord, that your word will resonate within their hearts, Lord. Father, I pray that, Lord, that they will not look back. As Calvin said this morning, that we will look forward. We do not look at our past. You have set us free. But, Lord, that we look at the cross before us, Lord, and we know that we will see you one day face to face, Lord. We ask that you will help us on this path that is directed with you, Father God, and that the word will become so alive in us that we cannot stop but telling people about you, Lord. We pray for the unbelievers, Lord. We pray that, Lord, that you will come in a mighty way and set them free. We pray for the people in Greece, Lord, that you will come with the word of God that goes out, Lord, that people will come to you radically, Lord. We pray for a revival in Greece, Lord, that it will never be the same in Jesus' name. That, Lord, that your word will be that bread of life, the manna, the fresh manna. And that, Lord, that you will be an overwatered well in Greece. and it'll be contagious, my God. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We ask that you will be with us this week as we go our way. Father, I ask that you will just hold these people's hands up, Lord. And I pray that the joy of the Lord will be their strength, and that the word of God will be the light unto their paths, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Enjoy coffee and tea. Have an awesome week. Bless you.